What's up, guys? Five biggest things I've learned about God this year. And it's going to be 365 days, so now it's just January 1, but the last 365 days, I'm currently on the rodeo trail. June to September is 100 days of straight rodeo. I go about half of that. And from last year was my, we call it my rookie year, my first year rodeoing out here, that I feel like I've just learned a lot about God in this time. And so I'm kind of reminiscing, kind of just thinking about all the things I've learned. It's been a transformational year, and I just want to share it with you. And the first one I want to talk about is false humility. Okay. False humility. Let's just talk about regret. If you feel regretful or you have regret about things you've done in the past, you truly don't understand the forgiveness of Jesus. But the problem is, and why I call it false humility, is a lot of times we've been trained that way. We've been trained by religion. We've been trained. Honestly, let me be real. A lot of us haven't even been trained by like an institution of religion or like actually people. We've been trained by our flesh. We think it's what we should do when we mess up or we have this long track record of stuff, that the natural response we think is right is to have regret because we have to do something. We can't wipe it away. We can't do anything about it. The only thing we can do is feel bad about it. And it tends to be where a lot of people live, is they just live in regret and they're trained that way. But I guess Colossians 2, maybe 13 through 15, it says, I can't even quote it. Let me read it so I don't butcher it. So pardon means to release an offender from the legal consequences of an offense and conviction, and often implicitly the blame. So not only are we pardoned from sin, but we're pardoned from the blame that comes with it, the feelings that come with it, everything. He wiped it all clean. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. And you who were dead in your trespasses and sins, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Point being, the first thing I wanted to talk about was the proper way, what you're supposed to do. Regret cannot still exist inside forgiveness. Regret cannot still exist inside forgiveness. If you still regret things you've done in the past and you believe in Jesus, there's a disconnect because Jesus has forgiven you of all the wrong things you've done, so they cannot coexist. Either you're forgiven completely, means even says in the Bible that God oftentimes throws our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't want you to remember them so much. It's like that he doesn't even remember them, because oftentimes part of the struggle of wronging people is knowing that they know you wronged them. He throws our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. If you are bought back by the blood of Jesus, this is for people who believe in Jesus. And if you don't believe in Jesus, this is available for you. If Jesus has forgiven you, you don't have to regret things anymore. That's the first thing I've learned in the last 365 days and truly embodied. And I believe it's time for you to embody it as well, because that's the gospel. Second biggest thing I've learned in the last 365 days was the law. Righteousness and the law, understanding that I'm the righteousness of Christ and understanding what the law of God is. The Ten Commandments were put in place literally as a guardian. It says that in Galatians. The law of God was put in place as a guardian for the people in the Old Testament to lead us to Christ Jesus. It was never meant to bring righteousness. The law of God, the Ten Commandments, were never meant to save you. The blood of Jesus, believing in Jesus, was always, even in the Old Testament, the way people got saved. But it's funny, the Pharisees, when they showed up, when Jesus showed up on the spot, just hopped out and started doing radical stuff like healing on the Sabbath, telling women who were not good women that your sins are forgiven, telling them crazy stuff like that. The Pharisees started getting all riled up because they started to make an idol out of the thing that was supposed to point them to the Messiah. The guardian, the God gave the commandments as, hey, you are running around with sin in your life. That's a fire truck. That is the Pinocchio County fire truck, right? Fire truck station's right there. It's funny, I literally just saw them. Dude, I didn't know what was happening, but they whipped up all fast. And they just hopped in that truck and went off. But they like skirted in there, this Jeep and this Ram truck. Nuts. Galatians 2:21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. For those of us who would say, I just want to be a good person, and I'm trying to follow the Ten Commandments, if you could get righteousness by being a good person, by doing good things, then Christ died for nothing. The third biggest thing I learned in 2020, over the last 365 days, has been comparison. Comparison is running a race that the Lord did not put you in. If you notice, when you compare, you begin to be hurried up or slowed down, not by Christ, but by who you're comparing to. Many times with video editing, I'm a video editor, documentary filmmaker, content creator, whatever you want to call it, I see somebody who's doing a good thing, and it then makes me hurried. When you compare, it either hurries you or slows you down, but it's not what the Lord puts you in. It's not the race the Lord puts you in. Your only focus should be on the Lord and what He is telling you to do. And as a result, peace and joy and satisfaction for your soul will be a reality for you. And also, you will have faster development than you could have even if you were trying in your own effort. That's literally what has been a huge thing for me, is when you compare, then it produces in you something that, like, I need to hurry up, I'm behind. Well, you're comparing your year one to someone's year seven. That never actually produces, in my life, has never produced me to actually get better. Right? When I feel hurried and when I feel rushed and I start to compare myself to other people, it actually stunts my growth even more, though it feels like I'm trying harder to grow. It's kind of funny how that works. When I rest in Jesus and I run the race that Jesus has set before me at the pace He's told me to run, and if people are farther along than me, that's amazing. I know I'm right where I need to be. 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord, and a day 1,000 years. And He is like that way so that everyone will come unto repentance. He wished all people to be saved. That's the heart of it. That's His heart. So His slowness and His patience is meant to lead to salvation. His patience and slowness is meant for our good. And He has you right where you need to be. And you don't need to outrun the Lord. He sets you in a race. And His pace is better than anything this world can offer. And that's where a lot of fruit will be. So that's the third biggest thing I learned. The fourth biggest thing I learned in 2020, or the last, keep saying 2020, the last 365 days, is a big one. It's the idea of boasting in weakness. Paul, the man who wrote half the New Testament, was aware of his weaknesses. There's something about a man who knows who he is in Christ, man or woman who knows who they are in Christ, that you begin to be open, welcoming, and aware of your weaknesses. But the people who don't know who they are in Christ, are striving for righteousness, are laboring hard for the things of God, tend to cover up their weaknesses, faults, and the things they struggle with. It's because you can't truly be okay with your faults unless you know that you're saved and righteous and covered by the blood of Jesus. When you know you're free, you then can be like, Father, I struggle and I'm not doing great in this area. Would you help me? It's like when you know you're saved and you're free and how radical it is that you're loved by God, you then begin to be vulnerable with your Heavenly Father and think, God, I know I struggle with this, but I'm free to be able to admit it, because my whole life I've had to lie to myself that this wasn't a problem, because I've been trying to make my own righteousness. I couldn't even look myself in the mirror, because, like, if I looked myself in the mirror, all I would see is guilt, shame, condemnation. I would feel dirty. All I would see was sin. All I would see is, like, how I'm such a terrible person, because I was trying to work for my own righteousness. And if you try to work for your own righteousness, try to work for your own image, make yourself look good, you have to look over the parts of you that are bad. But when you understand that your righteousness comes from somewhere outside of you, which is the word of Christ over your life, you then can be open with the things that you struggle with, open with your faults. And then when you bring your faults into the light, now, number one, Christ begins to work in them. He begins to flush them out of you, because you're like, here, Lord, here's there. I'm offering them up to you. Literally, here they are, please take them. But number two, like, I heard the craziest definition of anointing is God doing through man what man can't do through himself. I heard the craziest definition of anointing is that Christ does through man what man cannot do through himself. Paul could say, I boast in my weakness, because he was so excited for the opportunity for God to do something crazy. When you are down bad and you're like, yo, my back's against the wall right now. Like I have, there's like no way that something's going to get done. Or like, I need you, God. The very thing that we start to cry about, and this is convicting me, like this is why this is the biggest thing I've learned, because I'm still growing in this. When we cry and complain because we're down bad, if we open our eyes and just understand what's happening, this is an opportunity for God literally to show up and prove that he's real to you. Does that make sense? That's why Paul can say, I boast in my weaknesses, because this is an opportunity for Christ to literally show up in me to other people. If my life is perfect all the time and I have no weakness, then I'm completely self-reliant. I'm completely self-reliant. But if I get, naturally, life puts me in circumstances to where literally I can't, God, I can't do this. Paul literally was at the point of death even, which is a lot more than any of us can say, most of us can say, at the point of death. And he said, I'm going to boast in this weakness. He had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it is, but he said, I boast in this weakness because God, your power is being shown in my weakness. How bizarre is that statement? How bizarre. Biggest thing, one of the biggest things I've learned in the last 365 days, and probably will continue to learn over the next 365 days, because that's radical. I feel like I wanted to say a little bit more about that, but once, how can you boast in your weaknesses? Once you start boasting in your weaknesses, what used to feel like failure now gets flipped on its head as victory in Jesus, because the power of God is resting on me. Just like Jesus, his most weak and vulnerable point on the cross became the very weapon that destroyed hell. 2 Corinthians 12:4 says, for he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. The very thing that the devil used and thought Jesus's biggest moment of shame, he was naked on a cross, is the thing that Christians have celebrated for 2024 years. Sorry to make a lighthearted joke, but I can't remember if 2024 years since he was born or 2024 years since he was crucified. I think since he was born. You get the point. Sorry to kill the vibe. The very thing that Jesus, his most shameful moment is our victory. Our weaknesses and the things that we think are terrible are now in Christ opportunities for glory and for celebration and for Christ to use it for the kingdom of heaven to be shown here on earth. How radical. I think this is the fifth thing, huh? It's the gospel. Never graduate from the gospel. The gospel is that Christ came down from heaven, walked this earth as a man, lived the life that I couldn't live. Jesus did all that from love. He willingly endured a painful 39 flogs, 40 minus 1, carried a cross up a hill. Let at any point, he could have said, stop, I'm good, Father, take me now. But he didn't. He let them willingly nail his hands into a cross, nail his feet into a cross. And then even at when he's up on that cross, it blows my mind. He says, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. At that point, I would have been like, y'all are the freaking devil. Y'all are the enemy. And Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Only this most selfless man, so he's God in flesh, think about how much he loves you. Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And it's not just the Romans who are putting them on the cross. It's just everybody who's ever sinned against God and blasphemed God. I remember times when I would make fun of God. I would make fun of Christians. I would make fun of people who believed in the love of Jesus. I would do all that stuff. Forgive me, God, for I knew not what I was doing. And that he rose from the dead, beating death, beating sin, the two things that we could never beat on our own. He sent it into heaven, and here's where it gets good. Then he sent his Holy Spirit. He sent his Holy Spirit to multiply himself in a people, that he now dwells amongst a people. If he didn't multiply himself by the power of the Holy Spirit, billions of people would be lined up asking. We would never have access to him, because billions of people would be flocking to him. But he said, it's better that I go so you could have the helper. It's better that I go. We have unlimited access. He dwells. I am the temple of the living God. You are the temple of the living God. He dwells inside of me. Jesus lives in me by the power of the Holy Spirit. I have complete, full access. Moses had to intercede for the people. Jesus is a greater high priest than Moses was. Jesus is a greater high priest than the Levites were, who ministered. Only the high priest once a year could go into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament to minister to the God. Now we all, if you believe in Jesus, it's unveiled. It's unfiltered access. It's BTS. It's like that's kind of cringe, you know, that was kind of cringe, but you get the point. And the Holy Spirit dwells in us for what purpose? So that we could live like Jesus. It's not a get out of jail free card. Man, I got like a little stamp on my back so I don't gotta go to hell. No, it's now I get the opportunity. I have the empowerment to live like Jesus. I am empowered now to live a Christ-filled life, a Christ-centered life. Literally, the word Christian, I think, means like little Christ-like one. What we say we are means we want to be like Christ. But a lot of us don't think we can because we're... And the only reason you don't think you can is because you're doing it in your own power. You have the Holy Spirit. If you are in Christ, if you believe in Jesus, Jesus gives you his Holy Spirit. And you now have the power to do the things that you could not do in your own effort. Repent from sin. Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. It ain't nothing to do with Cole Harris. It ain't nothing to do with Cole Harris. It's Christ in me. There's things that come when the Holy Spirit happens, when the Holy Spirit empowers you. How radical is it? I just don't. It's just crazy to me that we graduate. We, like, as Christians, it is mind-boggling to me that I get to be as righteous as Jesus. That his work on the cross made me righteous. God views me as he viewed Jesus. It has nothing to do with behavior. It has to do with because of what he did. He loves me. How? It blows your mind. It literally blows my mind. That's the five biggest things I've learned in the last 365 days. Hope y'all enjoyed this podcast. Forgive me for it being improper. Hopefully the wind isn't too bad. Sorry for being so casual. I'm about to go film the rodeo literally about 45 minutes. Had to get this in. Have a blessed week. Love y'all. See you on the next one.